We're going to turn to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, please, to Joshua and to the chapter number 5. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow together, please, just for a brief word of prayer. Father, we do thank Thee for Thy presence with us already. We pray that Thou would intensify, Lord, that sense of Thy presence in our midst. We pray that Thou would come alongside, O God, to every heart today. We pray, O God, as it were, that Thou would sit down beside us, that Thou would open up the sacred page to us, that we might behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Speak to my heart, Lord, afresh. Speak to every heart from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, we would say like Samuel of old, speak, Lord, for Thy servant here. Speak to us today, Lord. Bless Thy word to saint and to sinner alike, to the conversion of the lost, to the strengthening of Thy people, to the glorifying of Thy name. Pour out Thy Holy Spirit, give help, give enablement, give wisdom. And Lord, give simplicity and clarity and plainness of speech, we pray. We pray that Thy word today will not be in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and in the demonstration of God the Holy Ghost. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject today that we want to look at is the matter of consecration unto the Lord. And in dealing with that subject, we want to focus our remarks upon three verses and also the rest of the chapter. But these three verses in particular, which really would formulate our text for this morning, verses 8, 9 and 10 of Joshua chapter number 5. Let me read those three verses with you. It says, "And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp, till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even, in the plains of Jericho." Now, upon crossing the river Jordan, one would have naturally expected Joshua and the people to immediately attack their enemies in the land, and to do all they could quickly to consolidate their position in the land of Canaan. But we see from the chapter before us that this is not what happens. This is not the case. For instead of going and attacking and consolidating their position from a military point of view, we see how Joshua and the people encamp at a place called Gilgal. And the chapter tells us, on the first day when they encamped at Gilgal, God commands Joshua to have all the men who are 40 years and under to have them circumcised. Look at verse 2 of the chapter. Says, "At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, Make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time." Now, sadly, this rite of circumcision had been neglected during Israel's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And this was all due to Israel's past rebellion and Israel's past unbelief. You see, the ceremony or the rite of circumcision itself was a sign of God's covenant relationship with His people. If you go back to Genesis chapter 17 and to the verse number 10, you'll see how that is the case. Here, the Lord is speaking to Abraham about the matter of circumcision and how it was a sign to the world that they belong to the Lord, of God's covenant relationship with His people. Look at Genesis chapter 17 and the verse number 10. The Lord is speaking here to Abram. He says, "This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised." And it was a sign of the covenant relationship that God had with His people. But if you go back again to Joshua chapter 5, you'll see something else here. 3 days after the rite of circumcision was carried out, We see something else here. We see that the Passover feast was also celebrated. If you look at verse number 10, you'll see that of Joshua chapter 5. It says, "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal." And we see from chapter 3 in the verse 19 that they encamped on the 10th day of the month. And it says, "And they camped the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plains of Jericho." 3 days after the rite of circumcision is carried out, the people assemble and they have the Passover feast. The Passover was a memorial feast marking Israel's redemption out of Egypt and their deliverance through the blood of the Lamb. Again, it was to be a yearly feast. It was to be commemorated by Israel every year. And sadly, there is only one record in all of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness of Israel commemorating that feast whenever they come out of Egypt. And it had to, like the rite of circumcision, had been neglected for almost 40 years as the people had traveled through the wilderness to the land of Canaan. And again, that was all due to their unbelief and their rebellion against the Lord and His Word as the people of God. When we come here to Joshua chapter 5, and when we see the reinstatement here of the rite of circumcision and the Passover feast. Now, this was all a fresh sign of Israel's devotion and Israel's consecration to the Lord on this particular occasion. Let me add that such devotion and consecration to the Lord was vital for them as a people and as a nation. If they were to enjoy God's favor, and indeed the best of the blessing of God that He had for them as they entered in to take and possess their possessions in the promised land of Canaan. Likewise, this morning we would also add that consecration to the Lord and devotion to the Lord is vital for all God's people. Vital for every church of Christ, of that people and of that church, is to enjoy and to know the fullness of God's blessing for them. And in these verses this morning concerning Israel's encampment at Gilgal, if you look at them, you will see three marks of a consecrated life. And it is those marks of consecration that I want us to consider. And I trust there will be an encouragement to every one of us today who are saved to press on with the Lord. Notice first of all here how consecration means putting God first. It means putting God first. Look at verse 8 and verse 10 of the chapter. It says, "And it came to pass that when they had gone circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole." Verse 10. "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, and even in the plains of Jericho." And those verses you read there of Joshua carrying out the duty of circumcision upon the people, and also the Passover feast. Think of that and think of the occasion. Now, we would say this morning, if ever there was an occasion that could have excused Joshua from carrying out these religious duties to the Lord, it was at this point in time. Think of the background here. Think of the context. Joshua, with some 2.5 million people, had just set foot on the land of Canaan. This was a hostile land. This was a land that had powerful nations and armies that were prepared to fight to the bitter end, to the very death, for their existence. Why, we would say, surely this man had now an excuse to neglect his religious duties to the Lord. But alas, that's not the case. Despite such an occasion, Joshua does not neglect his duties to the Lord. We see here that Joshua is a man who puts first things first. Now, sadly, there are many professing Christians today, and why, they will use any circumstance, they will use any occasion as a reason to neglect their duties to the Lord. My, all kinds of invalid excuses are used to keep God's people away from the Lord's house on the Lord's Day morning or the Lord's Day evening. Again, all kinds of invalid excuses are used to keep God's people away from the midweek prayer meeting. Again, excuses are used to keep the Christian away from serving the Lord and doing the will of God and going true with God. Again, excuses are used to keep the Christian away from prayer, private prayer, and the private study of the Word of God. Oh, Christian, let me say to you this morning, this is not the example that you and I are to follow. Dear Christian, today let me say this, whatever your circumstance in life, whatever your vocation in life, whatever the occasion, a consecrated life for you and I means putting God first in all things. Turn in your Bible over to Colossians chapter 3. And you'll see this for yourself as Paul writes to God's people in Colossians chapter 3 and the verses 1 and 2. And he's speaking here to believers. To those who are saved, who have trusted the Lord as Savior. And he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And there we're told, as Christians, to seek the things which are above, the things of God. To set our affection not on this earth. This earth is not our home, but to set our affection upon heaven and the things of God. In other words, Paul was telling the Christians here at Colossae to put God first. As a consecrated man, Joshua put God first, and as a leader, he encouraged the children of Israel in his day also to put God first. And people, that's the example you and I are to follow in this earth as God's people. We're to put God first. I remember an old uncle of my mother's we used to visit with, and he's long since gone from the scene of time, home to be with the Lord, but he had a little text as you went in through the front door of his home, and it just simply said, God first. That's how he lived. He was just a simple man, but he knew and loved the Lord and loved the things of God and sought throughout the days that God gave him to put God first. It was always a joy and a blessing to meet with him. And he was always a great encouragement to you as a young Christian to go on with God and to put God first. You think of the words of the hymn writer. They surely realized their responsibility in putting God first. The hymn writer said, I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor it is passing away, I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. They knew their responsibility to put God first. And there once was a Christian businessman. He ran a large business, and he also looked after a large Sunday school. And he was once asked by another, how do you get time to run your Sunday school and your business? He replied to that question by saying, the Sunday school is my business. The other things are just things in my life. 40 years ago, I stepped out in God's sure promise of Matthew 6, verse 33. The Lord says to his people, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Dear Christian, this morning, Christ's exhortation there in Matthew 6, verse 33, it still applies to you and I as believers today. And if our life is to be consecrated unto the Lord, then whatever our circumstance, whatever our vocation, whatever our occasion in life, we must put God first. Consecration means putting the Lord first. But notice something else here from Joshua chapter 5. Notice secondly that consecration means confiding in God. It means confiding in God. Joshua carried out, as we see, the rite of circumcision. He held the Passover. You see that there from verse 8 and verse 10. It says, and it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people. And in verse 10 it says, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover. My, despite being in enemy territory, despite having many battles yet to fight and to face, my, you see here how Joshua, he proceeds with these duties to God. And he leaves the battles to fight at a later occasion. Why does he do that? Why does he go on with these religious duties of circumcision and the Passover? Why does he leave the battles, and there was many battles to be faced? Why did he leave these to another occasion? because he was a man who was fully confiding in the Lord. You remember what the Bible says about Joshua and his other friend Caleb back in the book of Numbers 32 and the verse 12. It says he was a man who wholly followed the Lord. He was fully confiding in the Lord. Indeed, as he tarried here, waiting in the camp at Gilgal, he was confiding in the Lord for protection. The enemies of Jericho were watching down upon them, and Jericho was a powerful army and garrison city. And they could have attacked at any moment. But Joshua was confiding in the Lord for protection. And my, whenever the battles would commence, Joshua was also confiding in the same Lord for victory. You know, the rite here of circumcision was really a sign of the fact that Joshua was not depending upon the flesh or upon self for victory. Rather, he was confiding in the Lord. Circumcision signifies a cutting, or if you like, a putting away of the flesh. And it signifies spiritually that Joshua was not depending upon the flesh or man at this point. He was depending spiritually, confiding in the Lord. By the keeping here of the Passover was also a sign of his dependence and his fellowship with the Lord and upon the Lord. And my child of God, let me say to you this morning, a consecrated life, it means you and I that we're not to confide in the flesh. We are not to confide in man or in self or anything of man. But rather it means our confidence is to be in the Lord. And then the Lord alone. And Christian, whatever your circumstance, whatever your occasion, confide in the Lord for hope. Confide in the Lord for peace, for blessing, for victory in that circumstance, in that occasion, in your journey to the land of glory. Turn in your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 26 and to verses 3 and 4. And you'll see this again reiterated by the Lord as he speaks here and communes with Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah chapter 26 and the verses 3 and 4. The Lord here is speaking through his servant Isaiah. And he says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is ever lasting strength." The promise is God will keep those in perfect peace who confide in the Lord at all times, at all circumstances, in all occasions, in all vocations. The hymn writer says, "Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest." And Christian, as you and I go through life, as we seek to walk a consecrated walk before the Lord, the Bible tells us we're to confide not in ourselves, not in man or anything of man. We're to confide in the Lord alone, the everlasting Lord God Jehovah. He's the one we're to confide in. My Jonathan Goforth and his wife Rosalind were missionaries in China. They missioned there during the time of the Boxer Uprising, a time of great fear and death also for many white people in that land. And during a time of great fear, during the Boxer uprising and rebellion, Rosalind Goforth, she tells of knowing a great sense of peace. By reading of God's word and through a time of prayer that followed, she said, God's presence became wonderfully real. Every trace of agonized panic which I had been threatened with vanished. And in its place came a sweet peace. Her and her husband knew what it was to confide in the Lord. And she could testify of knowing the peace of God that passeth all understanding when there was death and destruction all around her. She spoke of the Lord's presence being very powerful, being very real to her in her time of need. Christian, the Bible says, "Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Believer, by God's grace, by the power of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit in your life, you and I also can know the same victory and the presence and the peace of God that passeth all understanding." Whatever our state or circumstance in life may be, Christian, God hasn't changed from the day of Joshua. He hasn't changed from the day of Moses. He hasn't changed from the day of Abraham. He says, I am the Lord. I change not. Yes, and walking the consecrated life, we're to put God first. But we must also learn day by day to confide in the Lord. But notice something else from Joshua chapter 5. Not only does consecration mean confiding in the Lord and putting the Lord first, but notice in the third place that consecration means, for the Christian, renouncing the world. It means the Christian renouncing the world. Look at verse 9 of Joshua chapter 5. And just look very carefully at what it says there. The Lord speaks to Joshua on this occasion. It says, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you, whereof the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. If you have a Bible with a margin, you'll see that the name Gilgal really means that which is rolling or rolling away. And here the Lord speaks to Joshua of having rolled away, he says, the reproach of Egypt. What was this reproach of Egypt that the Lord speaks of? Well, the reproach of Egypt here was Israel's bondage in Egypt, both to men and also to devils. You see, in Egypt, yes, Israel were slaves to men, and they were there by compulsion as slaves. But there's something else we need to note. And we often pass over it in the scriptures also in Egypt for a lot of the Israelites. They were also willing slaves to idolatry and also willing slaves to sin themselves when they were down in Egypt. If you turn over to Joshua chapter 24 in the verse number 14, you'll see that from yourself, from what Joshua says here at the end of his life. And he speaks to Israel about their past in Egypt. Yes, in Egypt they were slaves, no doubt, to work for the Egyptians, but they themselves were willing slaves, voluntarily taken up with sin and idolatry when they were in Egypt, even as the named people of God. Look at verse number 14 of Joshua chapter 24. Joshua speaks to him. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And then notice what he says, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. And then look at the next statement, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. They had been taken up with idols and idolatry and false religion when they were down in Egypt, but now they were to turn their back upon it all when they come into the land of Canaan. You think here of Joshua chapter 5, the rite of circumcision being taken place and followed by the Passover feast. It was all now a sign of Israel renouncing, yes, Israel's renunciation of Egypt's slavery and the idolatry and the sin of Egypt that they also had been involved in as a people. It was also a sign of their restoration to the Lord and to walk in the ways of God and to be governed by the law of God in their lives as a nation. It was a sign of them renouncing all the ungodliness and the paganism and the sin and the evil and the vice of Egypt that they had known. Why, they were turning their back upon it. And Christian, let me say to you this morning that consecration to the Lord, that means God's people, yes, renouncing the ungodly ways of this world. That means God's people putting away sin and all that is contrary to the Word of God and the ways of God. It means God's people living in the ways of God, been governed by the Word of God, seeking to live a holy life for God before the world. That's what it means. Someone has once said that the Christian must live in the world, but he must not let the world live in him. And that's true. Think of what Paul said in Romans chapter 12 to the Christian. He says, be ye not conformed to this world. The Christian isn't to be conformed to the ways of this ungodly world. John says to a Christian, love not the world. Dear believer in Christ, in our home life, in our everyday lifestyle, in our leisure, in our work and in our worship and in our work for God, you and I as Christians are to turn our back
upon all the evil and ungodly and immoral ways of this world. We're to turn our back upon these things. This is what it means to be a Christian. To walk a consecrated pathway to the glory of God, there must be a turning away, a renouncing of the ungodly ways of this evil world. Remember what the Lord said to those who were saved. He says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. We live in a day when there's a lot of so-called easy believers and people profess salvation, but there's no renouncing of sin. No repentance, no turning back away from the world. God's salvation means repentance. It means a holy life for the Christian. It means a turning of the Christians back upon the ways and the schemes and the whole attitude of this evil, ungodly world. Turn with me back, please, to Ruth chapter 1. Or over to Ruth chapter 1. And here you have a great illustration of one who turned her back upon sin and renounced the past in Ruth itself. You're all familiar with the story. There was two daughters in law, Ruth and Orpha. Orpha went back. She turned away from the Lord. And you know, you never hear tell of her again. It's just as if she never existed. God never mentions her again. But Ruth went on. And look at what she says to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And remember, Ruth came out of Moab. She was a Gentile believer. Yet she repented of her sin and she followed the Lord fully, and God blessed her and God used her in a mighty way for His honor and glory. And look at what she says. Look at verses 15 and 16 of Ruth chapter 1. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. That's what happened to Orpha. She went back. And my, there's many people who profess the name of Christ, but when something happens, they go back. Back to the world, back to their old homes, their old vices. That's not God's salvation. Look at Ruth, verse 16. And Ruth said here to Naomi, her mother-in-law, she says, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whether thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people, that's God's people, she said, shall be my people. And thy God, the God of Israel, remember she was a Moabite woman. She says, thy God shall be my God, and where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Here's a woman going on with God. Here's a woman turning her back upon the old world of Moab. And come what may, she's true in her lot with the people of God and with the cause of Christ in her day. Nothing or no one is going to turn her away from following the Lord. She was renouncing the past. She was a consecrated woman. Oh, child of God, by God's grace, let me say to you this morning, in every avenue of your life, you and I as Christians are to live for God's honor, for God's grace. There's got to be that renouncing, that turning of our backs upon this ungodly world. The world is no friend to the Christian. Turning your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to see what Paul says there to the believers at the end of that chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And look at his words in verses 19 and 20. And it reminds us just of our responsibility afresh. To turn our back upon the ways of this world as Christians and to follow in the ways of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. And Paul is writing to believers, those who are redeemed by the blood, saved by sovereign grace. And he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Christian, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He says, which ye have of God. And then he says, and ye are not your own when you're saved. You don't belong to self anymore. You belong to the Lord. And what's our responsibility in light of all that? Verse 20 says, for you're bought with a price. That's the precious blood of Christ in redemption. On account of all that, he says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And that's how God wants you and I to live, walking the consecrated pathway, to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, in our whole being, or to seek to live for God's honor and God's glory when we're saved. 1924 Olympics, Eric Liddell could not run. in the 100 metres finalist because it was scheduled for a Sunday. My, he turned his back upon the world's desecration of the Lord's Day on that occasion. But later on, God honored his stand for a weekday. He was to run in the 400 metres final. And he won that race and he broke his own record. He was a young man consecrated to the Lord. And he went on to be used of the Lord as a missionary in the land of China. He had a choice he could have made. He could have said, well, I'd run the race on the Sunday. But no. He remembered the fourth commandment which says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days are for work and for leisure, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, is to be kept for the worship of the Lord. He was consecrated to the Lord. Oh, believer, I encourage you, follow the example of that man, Eric Liddell. Follow the example, dear Christian, of Joshua and the people of God as they were encamped here at Gilgal. Yes, by God's grace, by the power and the might of the Holy Ghost in your life, you can follow that example. Live a consecrated life, whatever your circumstance, whatever the occasion, whatever your vocation in life might be. You can live for God's honor and glory. And I tell you this, God will bless you. He'll use you. He says, them that honor me, I will honor. One saved friend at our meeting this morning, let me say this, that if your life is to be consecrated to the Lord, then you must begin as a repentant sinner and come to Christ. You must be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and trust Christ today. Know your sins forgiven. Know what it is to be delivered from hell and the wrath to come, to be sure of heaven. And then as a Christian, as the hymn writer says, by earnest consecration, begin to walk the narrow way. Oh, may God help you to come. And may God, by His grace and by the power of His Spirit, enable us all to live that consecrated life, as it was with Joshua and Israel at the camp at Gilgal, for God's honor, for God's glory. Let us just close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 490 in your hymn book. 490, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. 490 on the page 373. We'll stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts and thinking of the words as we sing them.